go to the calls. Brian in Andersonstown. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Dan. I'd like to have asked a question, but also, well, I didn't realise Jimmy Brayson was coming on. I'd like to put the question to Jimmy Brayson, and I'd like to...
He's away.
Yeah, he's away.
Well, to be fair to Jimmy, he was waiting from about 10 past, quarter past. So he was, to be fair to Jimmy, he's given us some time this morning.
Well, my point being, Danny, is that, yes, these schemes, to me, are good, and there should be more of them. Now, what's happening in Ravenhill Road? My point being is there should be a combined statement from the Loyalist Unionist community and all the representatives to even the Orange Lodge and come out and say to these paramilitaries, all of them, that this is wrong and it should not happen again. Like, for instance, where's it called? We call it like the Loyalist group that represent the paramilitaries. Ulster, I can't remember the name, Danny. They represent. Why have they not made a statement coming out and saying we condemn this? And that's why I was wanting to ask Jimmy Brayson. I mean, all this talk. I mean, would he condemn what happened, whether it be thugs or paramilitaries that put these people out?
Well, you did hear what he said in terms of the UVF. He said that they are saying that it was not them. They are not responsible for what was happening in that area.
But I never heard any condemnation. They didn't come out. Okay, they made that statement. Very good. But didn't they turn around and say afterwards, this should never happen. I let these people live in peace.
What Jamie said was that he's not in favour of these types of, Michael didn't like me calling it manufactured, but where they create these shared spaces. I want to move on to Stuart and Clare. Stuart, go ahead.
I'm all for shared space, Danny. And listen, the dogs and cats in the street know exactly who's responsible for this. The police made their statement yesterday by saying they don't want to speculate. They've went further than speculate. They've went to the people's houses, the Catholic people's houses who were put out of their homes, and told them their lives are under threat. So they've gone further than speculate. Listen, get to these people, go to their doors, make them stand up for what they are, thugs, who are think that society of 2017 today is acceptable to put young families out of their homes, people who have recently decorated, people who have set up home with young families. Where do they go? They go to the housing executives. Are they going to be rehomed? Where are they going to be rehomed to? Listen, 2017, I mean, dinosaurs have gone long, long ago. Get it sorted. Get the police into this area and get these people and stand them and shame them for what they are.
Do you think it's as easy as that, Stuart?
Well, obviously it's not as easy as that. But you've got the likes of Jimmy Brayson coming on. He wouldn't even condemn. He couldn't even agree to a shared space. A shared space... person in society wouldn't want a shared space.
Well, what Jimmy said, and I don't want to be talking for him, but he didn't say he didn't want shared spaces, but he said that these are manufactured, and he's questioning the reasoning behind that. Loads of calls on this. Rob in North Belfast. Rob, go ahead.
Good morning, Freddie.
Good morning. Not bad.
First thing, I'm absolutely repulsed and angry when I came to learn of this situation. But we do need to draw some perspective on it. It's good in a sense that this has really, really been highlighted by the media, and that's right and that's proper. But this isn't an issue that has come about overnight. In fact, if you go right back to the Belfast Agreement and you look at the Northern Ireland Housing Executive statistics, you will see that the intimidation cases have remained steady right throughout that period, and that's people being intimidated from their homes on almost a daily basis right across the north. That is wrong. It is fundamentally wrong and needs to be called out. Thankfully, we now have a platform where we're able to do that. Now, one thing that is really getting on my goat about you this morning, okay,
yes.
Is that you keep banging on about the PSNI. The PSNI have a duty-bound obligation under Article 2 of the European Convention to inform anybody whether life or property may be at risk, regardless of that intelligence. I don't know if you've ever studied the PSNI's threat matrix, but if the threat comes in the form of a TM1 notice or a PM1 notice, then that would be credible, verified intelligence. If the individuals who receive the information have that piece of paper, I would be very concerned, and that would say to me that it is most definitely from the UVF or any other paramilitary organisation. If it was simply a voice message delivered by an officer, that would say to me that this is idiots. So you really need to look at it. stop.
But is there not a bit of a contradiction there? Obviously, the police believe it's credible enough to go and tell the families.
But they have to.
What they did.
They have to under the European Convention.
But your suggestion, you said a moment ago, though, that surely then they would know exactly who that came from.
No, absolutely not, because it could come through an anonymous source. We could say information could be delivered through Crime Stoppers, etc. And the PSNI have to act on that, regardless under Article 2. They have to. They are duty-bound under their obligations to inform anybody of any information they hold in relation to personal safety.
Okay, Rob, thank you. Alex in Lisburn, you're an ex-policeman, Alex.
Yes, and I just agree with what was said. Years ago, I think there was more of a judgment call, whether or not you passed on the information. But that's not done anymore. Nowadays, it's a set procedure, and the information is passed on. What I was going to say was this here. I've listened to a lot of politicians talking about this. I listened to Michael Long this morning, and again, he talked about unionist paramilitary, playing party political politics in the situation. But the one that really made me think was Martin Mueller, I think, was on yesterday on the radio. And he was talking about, condemning it, and quite rightly so. But drive up the Springfield Road, and everywhere you look, there's Republican propaganda. Every gable has something on its slogans, celebrating the prisoners, the hunger strike, whatever. You go into, I had a job briefly there where I was interviewing people after retiring from the police, and I was in Poldlas. And in front of a row of houses was a big, massive monument to the Provisional IRA.
And how does that make you feel, as someone that lives here?
It made me feel somewhat uncomfortable. But if I had been an RAC widow, or somebody whose son had been blown up in a bomb explosion, an ordinary member of the public who happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time and, say, lost her husband to it in an explosion, how would she feel? How would she feel driving up the Springfield Road and seeing all this Republican propaganda? So it's not just enough for Sinn Féin and for Martin Mueller to come on and condemn loyalism. We need to take a look at his own backyard, and try to think, how would a widow of an innocent victim of the troubles from the unionist community or from any community feel with all that painted on the gable walls?
Why do you think we have things like that in our different communities around Northern Ireland?
I think because we've settled for almost like a balkanisation, where Billy's happy enough in his area, with Union Jacks flying everywhere, and Paddy's happy enough, is content enough in his area with Republican propaganda everywhere. Whereas Northern Ireland, I think, is too small a place. But I think we need to go back to, we need to look, I mean, we've had 20 years, we've had our own administration, 20 years from the Good Friday Agreement, and where we failed to move on is things like education. We should remove protection from schools that they can only hire from their own community. We should make schools a neutral environment. I know that would probably affect the Catholic sector more, but you couldn't go into a police station. You wouldn't expect to go into a police station in a Catholic area and see a crucifix on the wall or some sort of Catholic iconology on the wall.
Okay.
Should that be on? Should schools should be cleared of all that? And children at primary schools should go
okay.
to their school.
I just want to try and get some more calls in, Alex. Thank you for your call this morning. David in South Belfast. David, go ahead.
Good morning. I could just say that Jimmy Bryce is 100% correct in what he's saying. I live in an area that used to be a mixed community. What happens is people move on and one thing and another, and this area has gone 98% Roman Catholic. And then Protestants like me, who have their home attacked, constantly don't make the headlines at all. People like Protestants are not allowed to make the headlines when their homes are attacked. But nevertheless, the BBC goes ahead and puts headlines in when four Roman Catholic people are removed from their home. It's very injustice whenever people have put up years of abuse by nationalists on the Armour Road, but yet nothing gets done from the police or anyone else. The police are just hopeless. They just ignore what nationalists are doing in this area.
Well, David, that is it's a fair question in terms of what are the PSNI doing to stop this, regardless of what area you live in or what
nothing.
Section of the community are doing this.
They don't do anything. You call the police out and they seem to turn a blind eye to what nationalists and Republicans...
Well, they would say that they don't, and they treat everyone the same. What should they be doing, David?
Well, they should be tramping down on it. Like, I'm a unionist, and let me be absolutely clear. Whoever's done that to the people on that Ravenhill Road, it's not right. It's like, not acceptable. But why is it that that makes the headlines? But whenever unionists are in a minority in an area whose homes are being attacked, it doesn't make the headlines. The BBC don't come to my door and ask me, why is your home being attacked?
Well, how was your home attacked? How long has that been going on for, David?
It's been on 9 years. I'm trying to get out of here. I'm trying to get the heck out of this area.
And what happens,
he has. That's what I'm explaining. These mixed areas don't work because they start off working well. And then what happens is when home goes vacant, one side or the other side move in. And when they move into the area, it's took over by one side of the community or the other.
But in terms of you, David, I'm interested to hear what's been happening in your home for the last 9 years.
I've had bricks, bottles. I've been called all the orange bees. I was stopped a few years back by Republicans on the Armour Road and told to keep the police out of this area or else. When I tried to explain what was going on, they just simply didn't want to know. Different Republicans can threaten Protestants on the Armour Road, but it's not mentioned by anyone. Nobody, not even the police deal with it. Even when you report it to the CID.
Have you lived there for more than 9 years?
Well, there was a reason I did live there, but the 9 years I've had bricks, bottles.
How does that make you feel, given how prolonged this has been and how long you've had to suffer and endure this?
I'm sorry for saying that word, hell. It is absolute hell. But believe me, there's a lot of people being intimidated that doesn't make the headlines in this community. So these mixed communities, Jimmy Price is absolutely correct in what he's saying. Absolutely, they don't work. They will never work in this country. Not England, yes, but not here. Not here. They will not work. They'll offensively... People say that they work, that don't work. Eventually, one side moves in more than the other, and then you're forced out. It's as simple as that. That's what's happening in society. And to the police, God's sake, bring the RUC back.
Okay. David, thank you. Roger in East Belfast. Roger, good morning.
Hi, Vinny. I'm changing my slant in this slightly from was talking to your sort of advisors there, because the debates got broader and broader. But the main point I want to state is, and I want to make a call to this community, those four families should be reinstated within the next week. In fact, all the politicians and the Loyalist Community Council, Chris Majimski, Pengelly, your man Wilson, all should be coming out, along with every politician from South and East Belfast, and welcome those families back in. And also all this criticism of the PSNI, maybe some of it is justified. Because when people are intimidated, it's difficult. I live just round the corner from Michael and Naomi Long. And unfortunately, when Naomi was threatened, the police sat outside their house for at least 3 weeks, 24 hours a day, and protected them. Now, maybe there's a difference between being a private owner of your house and having social housing. But there's a responsibility
The police would say, Roger, that they don't see a difference between the two. But thank you for your call. Bartley and Downpatrick, very quickly, just before we hit the news at 10,
Very, very, very quickly. With Jimmy Price on representing, as he normally does, the lowest area of gutter politics, coming on, couldn't condemn, doesn't matter if Catholic Protestant or who they are, somebody getting put out of the house in 2017 is absolutely disgraceful. With UVF, the LVF, or whatever sort of F or whoever they are, there's only one thing. They're scum, lowest forms of society. And sadly, one of the things, there's a gentleman on there says bring the RUC back. That's never going to happen. But he also mentioned about driving up the Falls Road. This, if you drive right round Belfast, you have all these areas where people think they own. This is our area, our area, our area. They're like lions urinating on a tree to make their ground. They're behaving like wild animals. All areas belong to everybody on a shared area. And we don't want to go back to the old politics in the 70s, where we built the motorway up the M1, the motorway that went nowhere, Craig Avon poured it down. Have they never learned nothing? Are these people that stupid? They've learned nothing.
Okay, one more call on this, Bartley, just before the news. Fred and Drumore, go ahead, Fred.
Hello there.
Good morning.
How can they expect shared housing to work when the shared power sharing doesn't work? It's as simple as that. It's just like mandatory sharing of power. They've been just forced to go into those houses, and as I said...
What do you mean, Fred? Do you mean we should sort of go by the example of them, or that we are influenced by the fact that they can't get it up and running again at the minute?
Well, it's just simple. When the government can't work and it's supposed to be shared, how can they expect anything else to work?
Okay. Fred, thank you very much. Bobby, very quickly before we hit the news, go ahead.
Well, for me, what it was, we moved from the Shago in 1952 to Ballymurphy. Right, everybody got on all right. Protestant, Catholic. Next thing, IRA, Sinn Féin IRA raised its ugly head. We had to move to Silver Stream, right? From Silver Stream, May, 1969, what happened? IRA, Sinn Féin raised its ugly head again. People had to leave. Protestants and Catholics got on well together, right?
All right, Bobby, we'll have to leave it there just for the news, but I get the point that you're making in terms of this is happening on both sides of the community.